Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Soil Podcast, where the Word of God meets ears, minds, and hearts, and by His grace grows a great harvest. I'm Aaron Fesenmeyer, pastor of York Evangelical Free Church, right here at the crossroads of the Midwest, York, Nebraska. And I'm grateful that you've joined me today. And if you're listening, hopefully you've joined us and have finished with us going through the Gospel according to Luke. And welcome this week, today, to the Gospel according to John, the final Gospel in our New Testament. And as we get started reading the Gospel according to John, you will probably notice that John is going to be a little different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and not just because of his name. But speaking of his name, who is the writer of this gospel? None of the gospel accounts originally included the according to so-and-so as part of their titles. But each was recognized through circulation to be the work of a certain writer. In this case, this is the work of the Apostle John. One piece of evidence that we have inside this gospel itself that this is John the Apostle is that John never refers to himself as John. There are several sections where we see an anonymous disciple as part of the events, and if he is singled out, he's almost always mentioned as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a fascinating way to describe oneself. And I don't think this was a mark of gloating for John, but this was his expression of thanksgiving that he, who was a sinner, just a guy trying to make a living catching fish, he was John the son of Zebedee, this guy was loved by Jesus, the Word become flesh, the Son of God. That's actually why John writes this book. If there is one thing John is after, it is displaying Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, who is the demonstration of God's love for the world. John is actually the most explicit out of the gospel accounts in his purpose for writing. You'll have to read almost all the way through the end of the book, but John writes this in John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. John aims to display Jesus, not just cool stuff that Jesus did, but Jesus as who He really is, the promised Messiah. The Greek word we translate for Messiah is Christ. The Christ who is simultaneously God Himself and man, the second member of the Trinity. This is a book calling us to believe God and, in believing, receive real life. While the other gospel writers have plenty of emphasis on Jesus as God, John's gospel account is saturated with it. Every event, every sign, every interaction, every discourse hinges on Jesus, who is truly man, also being truly God. Because Jesus being God is at the forefront of the gospel according to John, John doesn't seem to follow a strict chronology like some of the other gospel accounts do. He presents things in a way that builds good theology. Now, if that intimidates you, don't let it. Theology is simply and wonderfully the study of who God is and what He has done. If you've made it this far in our journey with us through the New Testament, unless you have been asleep at the wheel, I hope not, you have been doing at least some theological work as your mind is putting pieces together about who Jesus is. And John wants to help us build a really good picture of Jesus. As we start reading, there is a general structure to the book, which a Bible study or a study Bible might highlight for you, but the first 18 verses of John's account, that's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, present all the themes that John is going to address for the rest of the book. Actually, they do a really good job of tying the gospel account to the rest of the Bible. We can use this prologue, as it were, as an interpretive grid for the rest of the book. So definitely, definitely pay attention to these first 18 verses. From these, John presents all sorts of keys to help us believe Jesus. He records 7 signs Jesus performs, signs being what we would call intentional miracles, where Jesus does something supernatural, amazing, to authenticate that he really is the Word become flesh sent by his Father. But there's a caution here. We're not supposed to believe Jesus on the basis of signs alone. In fact, in the gospel, he has some strong critiques for those who are only impressed with what he can do, instead of believing him for who he is. And that is one of the real treasures of this book. John records both personal and corporate interactions with Jesus that reveal to us that God is God, but he's not a God who stays out there. But the God who really has come and dwelt among us to give us life. He is the God who knows exactly where every one of us are in relation to him and who calls us closer, whether through compassionate dialogue, like with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, all the way to a Cuban Missile Crisis style tension between him and his unbelieving Jewish opponents, as he calls their unbelief what it is. In John chapter, well, it happens a lot, so I'll let you read that. It is his presence as God incarnate that paves Jesus' road to the cross and resurrection in this gospel. Again and again, we are to see Jesus' horrific treatment and unjust death as both the gross evil that it is and the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption in Scripture. So pay attention in this book for when John mentions Jesus' hour. For the entire course of everything in the world hinges on this hour revealed in John as Jesus journeys toward fulfilling his mission. It is a powerful journey, and it is written so that we would believe Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, have life in his name. I have to admit at this point in my life that I'm a little biased toward John, as we're in a sermon series at York Evangelical Free Church going through the book. It is such a good book. And I would love to just go into every little rich detail of this book with you, but hopefully this taste is helpful and encouraging for you to go explore for yourself. As we go through, enjoy this book that God has given us and listen to what he has to say. As we start this book, let me pray for us as we receive God's word in the gospel according to John. Father in heaven, thank you for revealing your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we get to open your book and see your Son and believe him. Give us wisdom, fill us with understanding, and fill us with love for who you are, really are, and what you have really done. And for our neighbors, wherever they are, whether they are in unbelief or on the road of believing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Good Soil Podcast. I'm enjoying reading the Bible with you. Let me encourage you, keep reading. His voice is worth it. Until I talk with you next, may God reap a great harvest in our midst as his word grows in good soil.